ACEC is excited to announce that registration is now open for its fall conference taking place in Marco Island, Florida, this October. That's right, after a year of Zoom and virtual meetings, we're excited to be bringing our fall conference back as an in-person event. And we can't tell you how excited we are to look forward to seeing you there in person for all of the content, networking, and education that the fall conference is known for. Log on to www.acec.org for more information. We can't wait to see you there.
Welcome to the Engineering Influence Podcast, presented by the American Council of Engineering Companies and sponsored by the ACEC Life Health Trust. This is another episode in our Minding Your Business series in which we address business challenges that firms face. One of the more daunting challenges is business development, the pursuit of strategic opportunities for the firm, whether that be new clients, more business from existing clients, or even new partnerships or business relationships. This can often feel like a hamster wheel that is always accelerating. Joining us on the program to help us dig into how to succeed at business development is Wes Guckert, President and CEO of The Traffic Group in White Marsh, Maryland. Wes is a frequent speaker on the subject and recently presented an online class for ACEC. You can find the link in the show notes. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Thanks for having me. I'm always pleased and happy to talk about business development issues, and I'm thrilled to share my experiences with other engineering firms.
Well, it's kind of ironic. We're sitting here talking over Zoom, which is the virtual environment, but you have a sense that you can't really build a great relationship in the virtual environment. But given that we're going to have a virtual environment to some degree for the next few months, maybe years, what can engineers do to balance this issue?
Whenever I have an opportunity to meet with someone, either virtually or face-to-face in person, without fail, every company, every business development professional, and every client that we, myself and my team, have spoken to, believe that a great relationship really cannot be built virtually. In the past, there's really never been a problem with cost of travel in the past. And I really believe that virtual meetings can take place, but to me, the balance should probably be 80% of those meetings really should be face-to-face. And as an example, I'm making a presentation in a couple of weeks to another organization. And I'm going to be talking about business development as well. And as a result of the publication of me making this presentation, I've had a couple clients reach out and say, hey, we're going to be in Scottsdale. Can we get together, have an adult beverage, have breakfast, have lunch, have dinner? And quite frankly, doing it face-to-face is a whole lot better, and it allows you to talk to them about personal stuff versus me asking you, Jerry, for example, gee, tell me about yourself. What makes you tick? It's not the same thing. So
you mentioned the 80% number. Is there a difference with new clients versus old clients versus business colleagues?
No, I really don't think there is. The people that I'm towards the end of this month and a couple of weeks I'm meeting with in Scottsdale are old clients, but I haven't had the chance to see them because of the COVID environment for the last year and a half. And so this creates an opportunity where we can sit down, have a meal, have an adult beverage, talk about what's happening to them. We're not talking about business. We're talking about relationships. getting to know them. How did your daughter go back to college? Does she like her roommates? Did you play golf over the last couple of weeks? How are you hitting them? What about your football team? Who are you betting on this year? Those are the things as you talk about face to face that almost, in my mind, do not make sense to do that virtually.
Conversely, on that point, do you ever talk about business?
Mostly, business comes as a result of seeing somebody. There's a phrase that we use in our firm. It's called the recency effect. The person that you see most recently is the person that ends up saying to you, "Hey, I've been meaning to talk to you. I've been meaning to see you. Now that you're here, I've got this project coming up. I'll send you a note on it, or you send me a note, yada, yada, yada." And so it almost never do we ever talk business as the first point of order. It's always catching up on a personal basis, or if we're not catching up, even if it's the first time, tell me about yourself, Jerry. Tell me about Jerry. Tell me about Jerry Donahue. Who you married, kids, yada, yada. And you go on that way so that the next time you see them directly in a face-to-face meeting, you can say, "Hey, what about your daughter? What about your son? What about what your wife is doing? How's your health? You know, we talked about that last time." Those are the things that create relationships. The business comes all by itself in a very easy format.
I recall something from your program where you said people like to do business with people they like. I mean, that seems to be what you're saying there.
That's exactly right. If you were to jump into a meeting, whether it's virtual or whether it's face-to-face, and say, "Hey, my name is Wes Gucker. We do traffic studies. How do you like me so far?" It just is the wrong thing to do, because they want to get to know you. They want it. You know, it's just like when you do a proposal. If you do not know the organization that you're writing a proposal for, you've got very little chance of success, because when proposals come out, agency that's sending out the proposal, they pretty well know who they want to hire. You may not want to believe it. It may make some people throw up, but that's the facts. And that you need to go through your go, no-go decision based upon, do they know me? Do they like me? And so whether it's a proposal or whether it's going out and having a virtual meeting or a face-to-face meeting, people want to do business with people they know and they like. And you can't get to know and like somebody if all you're talking about is business and the next job.
So does that make an argument for basically prospecting before the proposal even comes out, getting to know someone even before they have work for you?
Absolutely. And every single prime contact that we have, a prime engineering firm, whether it's a government agency or whatever, and typically it's the government, you better know that this project is coming out, because most of the time, by the time the project is on the street, the team has already been set up, and because they did their homework, they know that it's coming. They talk to the contracting officer. They talk to the agency. The agency says, and it happens to us also. The agency says, "Hey, we've got a contract coming out in 6 weeks, 6 months, 4 days. Be on the lookout for it." When that happens, that means the client wants you to take your time to put together a proposal, and it will likely be a go decision, for at least for our firm, and should be for your firm, if if you're being notified by an agency that it's coming, they want you to bid on it. If it comes out cold and you know nothing about it, your chances of success are greatly diminished.
To sort of switch gears here a little, and getting back into the sort of the virtual world with social media, it's a very popular way now for people to sort of market and such. What is an engineering firm trying to accomplish with a social media presence? You support having a social media presence, I hear.
Yeah, you know, branding your firm and advertising are and can be very, very expensive. But social media platforms are free. And that alone is a good reason to jump in and get your brand out there. But you can't just do it once. You can't tweet one time or 10 times or get on Facebook and do it inconsistently. You've got to be consistently present and therefore relevant. You've got to provide your followers with interesting and compelling insights and trends and shout outs and updates and announcements.
Are
obviously,
you...
it's really important. Let me say one thing, Jerry. Uh-huh. It's really important to keep politics out of the postings. In fact, as a firm, we choose to no longer use Twitter and Facebook due to the political nature of both platforms. But there are other platforms, business platforms like LinkedIn, that you can use. But you've got to be consistent on your post. It cannot be just once a quarter. You've got to be out there on a regular weekly basis, finding information, posting information that your clients or other engineering firms find relevant.
Do you have someone in your firm whose job it is to do that? Are they searching publications for interesting articles, or are they writing themselves? Or,
well, as you know, I think you know from my presentation a couple of weeks ago, we have a PR firm, and we really expect them to do to be looking for opportunities. I try to encourage, but it's very difficult. I try to encourage as many people and senior people as possible to write content that is relevant that we can post. Typically, I will end up writing the content and the PR firm will end up posting it.
So you have a PR firm. What was the determination to hire a PR firm for business development?
We were talking to an architectural firm, and we realized that they were getting a lot of branding opportunities and branding press. So we went to them and said, how is it that you have time? How is it that you're able to get this type of branding opportunity, this type of press to get your name out there as much as you are? And that's when they said, we've got this small PR firm that we pay a nominal amount to, and they spend the time searching for opportunities to get us on a podium, to get us on TV, or to get us on the morning news shows. And so we contacted them and hired them, and they've been part of our team, I'm going to say, for 5, 6, 7 years now.
And okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you mentioned, getting on the podium. How does getting on the podium help your business development?
Well, because once we're able to do that, it brands us. and it brands our name, it brands our company, because conferences are on or published on the internet, names are often picked up on the Google search. And so your SEO, your search engine optimization stuff grows. And then it allows the PR firm to put out media reports that, as an example, Wes Guckert is now going to be speaking at ACEC, or he's going to be speaking at PSMJ or the National Association, NIOP, National Association of Office and Industrial Parks, ITE, whatever it is. There are probably a half dozen business organizations now that, and then they, that are looking, they're always looking for speakers. They're always looking for folks that are able to impart their wisdom on their audience, on their group of engineers or architects, attorneys, developers, whatever it is. So a good PR firm will be able to make contacts with these business groups and say, I see that you're going to have a call for abstracts. You know, when's that going to occur? Are you looking for somebody like Wes that can talk about business development or traffic engineering or safety or traffic congestion, impact of COVID on these things? And so they are out there constantly looking for opportunities to get us on the podium, because once we're there, then I've got exposure to hundreds or thousands of people, and then they're able to put out a press release or to get it in the local or national news feeds that we're doing this. And again, that just continues to brand myself with the company and as being an expert in different fields.
So the PR cost aside, it's basically free advertising potentially nationwide.
Absolutely, and it's brand building. That's right.
You talk a lot about brand. How important is brand?
I think it is. I've always felt it was important from day one. The longer our company was in business, and the longer that and the larger we became, and big isn't the reason we became large. Brand allows us to differentiate ourselves with smaller companies, with startup companies. Now, obviously, we were a startup when we started, but now that we have, we're a firm of 80 professionals, having a brand that talks about and speaks to people, the brand itself speaks to people as to who we are, what we are, and what our corporate culture is. A brand is vitally, vitally important.
One part of the business that a lot of engineers don't like is bidding, having to bid for work. And that seems to me antithetical to your approach of basically building relationships. How does the traffic group deal with bidding?
Well, it goes back to a go, no-go decision on bidding. And it goes back to what I talked about a few minutes ago, in as much as if you know that a contract is coming out because the agency has said, be on the lookout, or the agency has said, please go ahead and bid on this. That's sending you It's sending us a signal. If we are unaware of a project, that means that we have not done our homework and built a relationship with that client, that agency, that contracting officer. If that's the case, bidding is a waste of time, because engineers know, architects know, that you'll spend $10,000 or more in real dollars of your time, your staff's time, graphic designer's time, putting a proposal together. And so bidding, when you're not aware that the project was even going to come out, is a waste of time, in my opinion.
So basically, it's bid when you know you're going to at least be one of the top choices.
Exactly.
Another point you made in the program that you did for us was a rather startling statement. I think Renata said it, that the first three paragraphs in the cover letter are what sells them. That if you haven't sold them after the first three paragraphs, it's over. What do you put in those first three paragraphs?
Well, it's not always easy. I had a business development consultant at a time, and I said, you know, this is really hard. I don't know that I can do this. He said a couple of things. Number one, I said, this is not easy. He said, no, Wes, it's not easy yet. He said to me, I said, there's just so much that you're asking me to do. I know I'm paying you money and I want you to help me, but there's just so much to do. He followed up with the yet comment by saying, Wes, you got to eat this cow one steak at a time. You got to break it down and start thinking of what needs to be done in little pieces. And so it's important, because it's not easy, but it is important that when you have and you write your cover letter, and I've been with a lot of folks who say the cover letter is the big deal. If you don't have the cover letter right, it's going to go on the shelf and they'll look at somebody else. The reason, what has to happen in the first couple paragraphs is that you need to be talking about them, not you. You know, anyone who submits a proposal, I'll say 99% of them are qualified to do the work. You don't need to tell them that you're qualified and you've got 80 engineers and you've got 1,000 years of experience and you've done 27 similar projects for different agencies around the country. You don't need to tell them that. Everybody's going to tell them that. What you need to say is, we get it. Here are, we think, your goals and your objectives, and here is how we're going to meet them. We want to make you successful. And that is the most important thing to us. Making you successful, meeting your goals, making you look smart, making your boss happy about you. Those are the things that you want to point out to them. You don't want to talk about yourself in the opening paragraphs. It's kind of like what we were talking about in the very beginning with business meetings or lunches or breakfasts. You don't want to start by talking about work. You want to talk about them. People love to talk about themselves. If you ask an open-ended question, it turns them on like a switch. and they'll just talk and talk and talk. And then they'll think to themselves, and I'm not BSing anybody. They'll think to themselves and they'll know, this guy's really interested in me. He really cares about me. And you want that same caring to show up in your cover letter. Because if it doesn't, you're going to be like everybody else.
Closing up here, you mentioned the big cow, eating a whole cow. If you look upon sort of business development as a big cow that somehow you've got to consume over the course of a year, I guess a plan, some sort of business plan would help you do that. What are the stakes, the individual stakes in a business development plan that you would recommend?
Sure. Because we're almost out of time, I'm going to go through the goals and the strategies, not the actual action items. So that the first goal, and we talked about this, is to optimize your branding position and increase your brand presence so that you increase your brand visibility so that prospective customers get to know and like and trust us. You've got to increase the recency effect with existing clients. And I talked about that a few minutes ago. And that is one of the strategies that we use to optimize brand. You want to optimize your customer relationship and a customer appreciation. And so there are lots of ways to do that, but the strategy is to increase the frequency and personalization of communication with clients. One of the things that we do is a lot of handwritten notes. Congratulations on your promotion. Congratulations on the job. Congratulations on 25 years at your firm. Whatever it is. And so I will scour the business journals and I will see opportunities. Oh, I know this guy, or I don't know this guy, but boy, what a great thing he accomplished. And I'll send him a thank you note.
Wow.
Handwritten thank you notes all the time. I get the same thing from people who I may not know, who will send me a letter or send me a handwritten note. I saw you became recently an influential mailender, and they'll send me a note saying, boy, what a great accomplishment you did. Or they'll see me at a fundraiser because we do a lot of philanthropy, and they'll send me a note. That's the kind of thing you need to be aware of to optimize customer relationship. You've got to identify new targets and opportunities, and you've got to identify creative ways of giving back. Let me tell you one of the things that we did, that we now do, that has gone a long way, and that is we used to do the handwritten notes, and we still do, and we would include a gift card, say a $200 gift card, and say, enjoy a great meal on us with your wife or your family, and thank you for always thinking of us, and we would send that out. We did that for a couple of years. Now what we're doing is we're contacting folks that have been good to us, clients, engineers, attorneys, folks that have recommended us to do work. We'll contact them and say, you know what? You've been really good to us. We don't always have the opportunity, because we're down the food chain, we don't always have the opportunity to recommend you, because by the time that we're being recommended, the team, when we might be one of the last folks on the team, okay? But we will go to the prime or the initiator of the team and say, you've been good to us. Let me tell you what we'd like to do. We'd like to thank you by making a donation in your name to your favorite charity. It has been phenomenal. People are blown away. And you've got to make a decision as to how big that donation is. But when you do that, that takes you all the way back to the very first conversation. It's about them. You're making them important. You're making them know that you care about them. And that's business development, business relationship, business RFP writing 101.
That's a great idea. It really does. It makes a great connection.
And of course, you're helping the rest of humanity at the same time.
That too. Oh, great. Well, I think that just about does it. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
You're very welcome, Jerry.
This has been the Engineering Influence Podcast, presented by the American Council of Engineering Companies and sponsored by the ACC Life Health Trust. Thanks for listening.